We have come to the third and last lesson in a series of lessons regarding making disciples of all the nations. And I believe today's lesson, of course, is entitled Living Like Jesus, because that's really what many times it comes down to regarding the life that we should live. And so we will be focusing on that for this Sunday and the next Sunday, Lord willing. But in the past, we looked at what is a disciple. A disciple is a learner, a follower, and an imitator of the Lord Jesus. We cannot be his disciple unless we become like him, and that is the focus of this last lesson. In the second lesson, we took four parts and looked at becoming and remaining his disciples. We looked at who Jesus was, the claims that he made. We won't go over them, but Jesus claimed, among other things, to be the Son of God, to be equal with the Father. And his claims were backed up by miracles and by fulfilled prophecies and the eyewitness testimony of what he had done for us, dying on the cross and being raised on the third day, so that his death could be shown to be for the forgiveness of our sins, inaugurating the new covenant in his blood, and then rising into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, where he is even today, ruling over heaven and earth. We looked at what we must do to be saved, to become his disciples. We must believe enough to repent of our sins and be willing to confess him as the Son of God before men and be baptized for forgiveness of our sins, that is, immersed in water, trusting in the power of God through the blood of Jesus to forgive us of our past sins. That the sinner's prayer is nowhere mentioned in the New Testament as a way to become a Christian, as the way to become a Christian, to become his disciple. We would humbly and lovingly challenge anybody to show us where in the New Testament that is, that we are commanded to say the sinner's prayer to become a child of God, to become his disciple. What must we do to continue as his disciple? We must continue in the apostles' teaching. We must continue not in the traditions of men, but in the apostles' teaching, showing love for him through obedience to his commandments, letting our minds be transformed so that we put off the old self and put on the new self and become different, like the Lord Jesus, be loyal to him above all human relationships. And so we looked at all of that in that long lesson, that four-part lesson. But today, we remind ourselves, as we have always done at the beginning of each lesson, in this short series, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus, after he was raised from the dead. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Again, nowhere is the sinner's prayer mentioned. Now, to the introduction of this first lesson, first part of two of the third lesson, living like Jesus. We cannot be Jesus' disciples unless we learn and apply the gospel teaching so that we become like him over time in our character, That is what we, the heart of the gospel, really, to become like him. Often, we emphasize that we must do all things according to divine authority. And we should we not? We should. But often we can forget that our lives must be governed by principles. Principles that Jesus himself perfectly displayed while he was on the earth. Do we know that? Many problems, many situations involving family, involving church, involving community, can be solved scripturally if we would learn how to apply the life principles that Jesus demands that we should follow as his disciples. Did you know that? Most troubles that we have in the church is when we forget to act like Jesus. Am I right or wrong? Say again. Most troubles in the family is when we forget to act like Jesus. Is it right or wrong? Say again. It is right. We study this lesson to learn the practical meaning of living as Jesus lived daily, so that we can glorify God. Also, we want to avoid following parts of the gospel and being unlike Jesus in character, because that is the danger. Oh yes, I belong to this local church and we did what we thought was everything authorized by the apostles' teaching. But then when you look at how we behaved toward one another, we were backbiters, we were gossipers, we were snobbish towards certain people in the church. We ignored certain people. We neglected certain people. We became angry and hateful towards certain people in the local church. But we observed all of his authority. Did you? Did we? No. We failed to become and behave as Jesus. Isn't that what happened to the Pharisees who meticulously looked at the law of Moses? They added their own traditions to try to make sure they were following the law of Moses, which caused them to disobey it. But yet they became so hateful and angry and hostile toward the Lord Jesus and his disciples, didn't they? So they failed to act like God, the God that they claimed to serve. And we can be the same people if we're not careful, failing to act like Jesus. We are commanded to live like Jesus. Did you know it? The first part of this lesson today, we are commanded to live like Jesus. Matthew 10 and verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? But Jesus said, live like me. Serve God, serve one another, and be persecuted like me, because that's what's going to happen. The more we try to please the world and become like them, the more unlike Jesus we will become. So we seek to become like Jesus, and if we're persecuted by the world, then that's the way it is. That's the way it was with our master, with the teacher. We are commanded to live like Jesus. Mark 10 and verse 43, Jesus said, but it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become greater among you shall be your servant. That was new. They thought whoever was greatest should be the boss. Jesus said, shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So we are to serve sacrificially for one another. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Luke 11 and verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. We are to live like Jesus. We are to pray like Jesus. Jesus depended on prayer daily to the Father. Luke 9 and verse 23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, denying ourselves what we want to do and humbly submitting to the will of God like Jesus. John 13 and verse 34. John 13 and verse 34, the night before he died for the sins of the world, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Is that living like Jesus? It is. The gospel is designed to change us into the image of Jesus, into his likeness. That is, according to his attitudes and behavior, his character. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to live like Jesus. And the gospel is the vehicle that God uses to make us think, or to change us into thinking and behaving like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, made into a different form, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. We are commanded to live like Jesus, but we're going to be transformed by the gospel. That's why it's important that we give our time to knowing and applying and practicing those things. Philippians 2 and verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What attitude that he had, did he have? We'll look at that at the end of this lesson. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Next week we'll look at this, but it says, 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. That's enough to let us know that we are to live like Jesus. Is it? It's undeniable, is it not? We cannot escape it. And so, what are some of the life principles by which Jesus lived that he calls upon us to live? Like Jesus, we must seek to know and do all of God's will. What does that mean? That means that I don't get to pick and choose what I want to follow. If I don't like what God says about marriage and divorce, then I just throw that out and say, I love Jesus, and it doesn't matter how many times I've been married and divorced. Is that the attitude of Jesus? No. I don't get to throw out the things that are said in the New Testament about how I should worship and say, Well, I think we ought to do this. It's not in the New Testament, but it makes the crowd feel alive. It makes them feel exhilarated. Let's do this in our worship. Is that the attitude of Jesus? No, everything that the Father commanded him to do, he sought and did. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." How much of his will? How much of his work? All of it. All of it. Until his dying breath on the cross. John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." You see the attitude? Somebody said, "You're so strict in following the New Testament." Well, what part do you want me to throw out? What part do you want me to get rid of? What part do you want me to overthrow? Is that the attitude of Jesus? John 8:29, "And he," Jesus said, "and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." It sounds like Jesus was concerned with seeking and doing all the will of God, doesn't it? And does he want us to be the same way about doing the will of God, the apostles' teaching, the new covenant? Or do we just pick and choose and throw out what we don't want? The night before Jesus died, he prayed for us and future followers, all the future followers and his apostles. John 17 and verse 20, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone," that is his apostles, "but for those also who believe in me through their word," those who would obey the gospel in the future and become his disciples, "that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Are the Father and the Son in disagreement about the will of God? Do they contradict each other in doing the will of God? So when he says that they may be one in us as we are in each other, that they may be one like us, then he doesn't want us to contradict the will of God in the apostles' teaching, does he? Then to belong to a church that says that denominations are accepted by God, those who call themselves by different names that are not in the New Testament, those who follow different teachings that are not in the New Testament, and yet you say they are accepted by God, is that being one with God? No. No. We can only be one with God as we seek to follow all the apostles' teaching, to obey all that he has commanded. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered," that is Jesus. "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." We are to seek and obey all of the apostles' teaching. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When they first heard the gospel preached and they heard Peter giving the evidence, the fulfilled prophecy, the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit on that day to guide the apostles, the 12 apostles, into speaking in foreign languages that they had not learned, the truth to their fellow Jews about who Jesus was and what he had, how he had received all authority at the right hand of God after they crucified him. Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, did they realize they had been against God, had become enemies of God when they heard this? Yes. They were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? Then what did Peter answer? Peter said to them, Pray this prayer. No. And no matter if Billy Graham, Charles Stanley, or anybody else tells you to do it, they are deceived and they are deceiving you into thinking you're obeying the will of God to become his disciple when you're not. Peter said, Repent, change your mind about your sins, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What happened in verse 41? So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls, forgiven souls, by the grace of God. Not through the sinner's prayer, but faith leading to repentance. Later on in Acts 8, we read about the eunuch confessing Jesus as the Son of God before he was baptized. But the baptism was for the forgiveness of sins, not because they were already saved, but in order to be saved. In order to be saved. And then what did they do after they became his disciples? They followed the Methodist discipline. They followed the teachings of the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Baptists. Acts 2 and verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Somebody said, why are you so worried about what the New Testament said? Well, what should you worry about? I'm definitely not worried about what the Pope says. I'm definitely not worried about what any group of men or women say that is not even in the apostles' teaching. Of course, I'm concerned about what's in there. I don't want to follow what's not in there. Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's beautiful, is it not? And then that warning by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. So somebody says God accepts all the denominations that we see out here? That's something you dreamed up. You didn't get that from any apostle. That's something out of your imagination. And it's deadly imagination. The warning from the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1 and verse 8, But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. I thought he was to be applauded. I thought he was to be exalted above many churches and wear a robe and wear a cap and be called the Pope, preaching many things that the Apostle Paul did not preach. Not only him, but whether you talk about whatever they're called, whoever they are, that go against the apostles' teaching. Paul said, let them be accursed. And in fact, they are accursed. We are to seek to do all the will of God. And finally, in this lesson today, we are to deny ourselves and humbly obey God, putting God and others first. Jesus said, Mark 8 and verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. There's Peter. Began to rebuke him, but turning around and seeing his apostles, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. And summoning the crowd with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what he must do. Deny himself and follow me, taking up his cross. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? But the point is, these churches that have the crowds going there, where they let the people fornicate, they let the people mistreat each other, they let the people lie, cheat, and steal, and do not rebuke them privately and publicly in these churches. No wonder they have crowds. No wonder they have them. But are they teaching people to deny themselves? Or are they teaching people that all you've got to do is say the magic words, and you can have everything in this life of a material nature because God is obligated to give it to you, no matter how sickening you are as a person? Is that what I'm hearing? Oh, yeah. Are they being taught to deny themselves? Or are they being taught that you are to be happy at any cost? You are to be happy in this life at any cost. Is that Jesus' disciples? No. We are to deny ourselves and humbly obey God. Romans 6 and verse 11. Romans 6 and verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. I believe the brother mentioned that in the prayer earlier. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's denying ourselves, is it not? You can't marry anybody that you want to marry. You can't use your body in any way you want to use it and still claim to be a disciple of Christ. And then, coming toward the end of our lesson today, Philippians 2 and verse 1. Philippians 2 and verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. You know, you go into some of these church buildings today and you see immediately that some people feel that they're in certain groups in that congregation and they ignore other people. Am I right or wrong? Some are with the in-group and some are the out-group, but they'll take all of your money. They'll take all of the money that you have in those churches. But you just may not be in that special group of people in that congregation. Is that being of the same mind? I'm asking you. Is that being of the same mind? Is that being of the same spirit? Is that what we just read here? We are to be of the same mind and of the same spirit. How has that happened? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Does that mean everybody as more important than yourself? All the disciples? Wherever you are, as more important than yourself? Yes. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. There you go. Well, that person is not the same educational level as I am. Why should I be bothered with them? That person is not handsome or beautiful or has the right type of friends. Why should I be bothered with them? Is that the attitude of Jesus? Absolutely not. Paul said in verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which also, which was also in Christ Jesus. What attitude was it? Snobbish, proud, vicious, hateful, selfish? Is that the attitude? No. Philippians 2 and verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. You know, every time I read that, if you were equal with God in heaven, would you be eager to leave heaven and come down here treated as a criminal? If we're honest, we wouldn't dare leave heaven, would we? Jesus did. His mind was to put others before himself, to put God's will first and then others second. He did not, although in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself of his godly form, of his divine form, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Now that would be hard enough, just being a bondservant, but what type of bondservant was he? To what extent? Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now that's going too far. Bad enough to be a servant, cleaning up after people, being thought of as the lowest rung of society, but being hung on the cross as a criminal, painfully dying in shame, that was Jesus. And yet sometimes we can't even greet one another or see what we can do for one another because we think we're above one another. Am I right or wrong? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, putting God and others first, denying himself, humbly obeying God. And then what was his reward? Verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the living and the dead, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is how Jesus was exalted. Putting God and others first, denying ourselves, humbly obeying God, serving others. That was the Lord Jesus. That was Him. Creator all and of all, and now Lord of heaven and earth at the right hand of God. We are commanded to live like Jesus. Cannot escape it if we're going to be His disciples. Like Him, we must seek to know and do all of God's will, not according to the traditions of men, but to the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. Like Jesus, we must deny ourselves and humbly obey God, putting God and others first, more important than ourselves, serving humbly like Jesus, who served. We will never outserve Jesus. We'll never outlove Jesus. We will never obey more than Jesus. All we can do is seek to humbly follow His example. If you're here this morning and subject to the gospel of Christ, we would encourage you to come to repent of your sins. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the evidence overwhelmingly says He is, to repent of your sins and to confess Him as the Son of God before men, and then to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, immersed in water. No sinner's prayer here, because there's none that the apostles ever gave for you to say in order to become a Christian. But if you're willing to do that, to become a child of God, then do that now before it's everlastingly too late, while you have the time, by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus, that you might be forgiven. And then those who are Christians who have fallen back into the world, then why not become a child, become restored back to the Lord this morning by repenting and praying. If we are Christians who have fallen back, repenting, confessing our sins, and praying that we might be forgiven of those things that have caused us to stumble, that we might turn back and become more like Jesus by the grace of God through the gospel. If anyone is subject to the gospel invitation, we encourage you to come. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?
All is all.